Come on, good morning. If you're here, put your hands together. No, seriously, it's dark out there. I couldn't see. I needed to make sure you're actually here this morning. So how is everyone feeling? I have a question. Is there anyone who feels like your grass is on steroids right now? I mean, there was a couple little rainy days, a couple sunny days, and I went out there, and I'm, you know, when you have to do the push and then lean it back just a little bit to get it keep going. And it was fine because got the grass all mowed, but then yesterday morning, there's a soccer tournament this weekend that my kids are a part of, but baseball's starting already, so we're baseball in the morning, soccer in the afternoon, and mom was gone, and I don't know if she knows this, so don't tell her. I'm sure that'll work out well. So we went in the backyard, but we didn't put shoes on yesterday morning. Because there was something about walking through freshly grass, cut grass and the wet morning. And then my baby girl comes up to me and she goes, "Dirty, dirty." Because her feet had grass on it. I'm like, my wife at 2 years old has gotten to her already. So I love both of them either way, but my daughter just couldn't adapt to the beautiful change that was about it. So how many are ready to hear the word of God this morning? Amen. Amen. Good. For those joining us online, we're absolutely thrilled that you're tuning in, either you're watching live, maybe afterwards, but today I think I have a word that can encourage you. If you are a mom, a dad, a businessman, a woman, if you own your own business or a manager, I actually think there's something for everyone today, and so we're glad that you're tuning in. Thanks for joining us. I'm going to ask, though, for a little bit of lenience today, and here's why. Monday, sat down, started reading. And I got a scripture, I got a person, I got a female. Right now we're talking about Wonder Women and Supermen of the Bible. So I had to figure out which woman was I going to be talking about. And I thought I had her. She was a judge, actually the only female judge in the book of Judges. And she was also called a prophetess. And then found out that someone else ended up, another female drove a spike into a dude's head. It's a great story. So I was excited about sharing that with you. And so Monday I worked on it. Tuesday I kind of polished it up. Tuesday, Wednesday I kept looking at it. Thursday I started going, I don't know if this is right. So Friday I rewrote my sermon. An entirely different person. But here's the problem. I was struggling with what I wanted to tell you because I don't think it was right to tell you that because, can I just be honest with you, it wasn't where I was at. And because of a process God's been taking me through, he's been showing me some things. And so part of what I want to tell you is, hey, this is good for you, but the reality is I think it's good for us. Because I was praying a prayer that would have been the most amazing miracle God ever could have performed. And here's the prayer. And by the way, if you judge me, I apologize for you, but here's the deal. I'm not perfect, okay? Would anybody raise your hand with me and go, I'm not perfect. That was what I meant for have you say. Okay, so I'm not perfect. So in my life, there's some places that I would like to change. Can you, in your personal life, agree with that? But did you pray like I've been praying? God, change me without actually changing anything. Right? Because I really like the way I spend money. I really like the way I interact with kids. I really like the way my wife and I have our relationship. I really like the way, but I know there's aspects of it's not working, but I'm actually more comfortable with my dysfunction than allowing God to change me, because if he changes me, that means he disrupts me. So ultimately, I was praying this, God, change this one area that I need you to really change, but when you affect that change, don't actually have it change the world around me. And I got to be honest, I think it would be the most amazing miracle he was ever able to pull off. So if I know, I have a question for you, for me. If we know there's places in our life we need to change, how many would say there's places I could just do better? And it's not a sin issue. I could just do better. So if you know there's those places, what keeps us from making those changes? So that's what brings us to the Shunammite woman today and where she's at. And so I'm going to just read to you. We're going to just read our passage. And then we're going to talk for a while. And I hope you're okay with me telling you about a process. Hope you're okay with just kind of going back and reliving the story. But this is an amazing woman. 2 Kings verses 4, 8 through 16. One day, a man named Elisha. So if you don't know who Elisha is, at this time, he's a prophet. And right then, you just went, who's a prophet? So God would speak in heaven, and a prophet would then go around the nation and say this, I'm speaking what I heard him saying, because not everyone could hear what he's saying. So Elisha was a prophet going around talking for God, and you may right now be going, I thought his name was Elijah. Okay, Elijah is the guy who Elisha trains up. Really confusing. I know. Why couldn't it have been like Fred and Earl, right? Right? Couldn't we? But here's how I remember it. And again, this is, I'm almost embarrassed to tell you. Elisha with an S one day will, Elijah one day will jump out of here while Elisha with an S stays behind. Ta-da! Welcome to Bible 101 with me. You'll get it in a little bit when I talk about IQ. So Elisha, who this prophet who talks for God, went to Shunem. And a well-to-do woman was there. Here's the way we're going to find out. She's rich. She's loaded. She's well-to-do. And she actually urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. So this lady, this woman, we never find out what her name is, said to her husband, I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Another translation actually says this, I perceive him to be a man of God. So now in verse 10 it says, let us make a small room on the roof and put a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us. And then one day Elisha, remember he's the one staying behind, Elisha came. He went up to his room and he laid down there. And he said to his servant, Gaza, call the Shunammite. So the servant called her, so he called her, and she stood before him. So now the servant called her. She's now standing for Elisha. And Elisha said to him, being his servant, tell her, you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? And she replied this, I have home among all my people, or my own people. So ultimately, she walks away then. She leaves. So Elisha is sitting there going, what can we do for you? You've done something nice for me. Let me do something for you. And she's going, hey, I'm good. So she leaves, and Elisha now says to his servant, he goes, hey, Gaza, what can be done for her? And Gaza says back, she has no son, and her husband is old. It's amazing. I may say this later, I may not. Sometimes people around you are more aware of your needs and wantings than even you are. So it's great to be in community, and there's a reason why. So this servant goes, hey, she said she doesn't need anything, but I can tell you this. She has no son, and her husband's old. And if you can't put the two together, you go to our growth track. Pastor Brent would be happy to explain why that's not happening. And just it's awkward at this point. So Elisha said to this, call her. So he called her, and she stood in the doorway. So now this man of God that she perceives to be a man of God, he now calls her back a second time, and instead of coming into the room, she knows she's about to touch God, so she actually stays at a little bit of a distance. She comes to the doorway, and he says, about this time next year, you will hold a son in your arm. And she goes, no, Lord. She objected. Please, man of God, do not mislead your servant. Hang on a second. I perceive you to be a man of God. I actually build a room on you for you to stay here as often as possible. Now you're going to give a promise that was probably the longing of my heart, and my response to you is no. So God, please bring about all the change I need in my life, but don't change a thing. I get it. I get why she said no. But I think what we have to do is we have to unfold this, because this is first time that we're doing it in this conversation that we've been having the last couple weeks. We're now going to talk about a Wonder Woman origin story. Do you know what the origin story is? Remember Peter Parker gets bit by a spider? That's how he becomes Spider-Man. So how does she become a Wonder Woman? It's in this moment here. In this moment of wrestling with the unknown, wrestling with her God. And so it's interesting because the way the 2 Kings is laid out here, we have just learned about a rich woman, but right before this, we hear about a poor woman. And you might know the story if you're familiar with the Bible at all. Elisha's walking through, finds this woman who's about to die because she has no oil in her house in order to make bread. And he goes, hey, give me the last bit of oil that you do have and bring all the jars that you have. And he does what? He starts just pouring out oil and filling up the jars. And then she starts running to all her neighbor's house and getting more jars. And he just keeps on filling. She runs down to Costco and Sam's and gets Tupperware and like, just keep filling it. No, it'll save. You can tell it's clean. So like, she's doing everything she can. And so we have two stories back to back, both of them needing God. One is a rich woman, one is a poor woman. And let's be honest, if we're going to be a self-evaluation of our American culture, we assume poor people need God more than rich people. Can we, like, when's the last time you heard of someone doing an outreach to the projects? Of course. When's the last time you heard of an outreach going to Beverly Hills? Clayton. Right? You just, why? Because if you are monetary, if you have monetary reasons, if you have become wealthy personally, then probably you're okay spiritually. What I love about this is Elisha's going, no, not so much. Like, wealth is not an indicator of someone's standing as far as their internal soul, personal emotions, and the ability to adapt to the changes around them. So Elisha, in this parallel story, hey, rich and poor, by the way, this is good for all of us to know, they all need Jesus. And you could actually be more wealthy with a lower bank account than someone else who is driving the car of your dreams. So we just have to be aware of that. We can't be afraid of that. And then I love this. It says, we perceive that he's a man of God. Do you understand that perception is our ability to receive or not? So think about this. This is true. Right now, you perceive, and I can't name names out there, but you perceive that there's a company out there that if you wanted to buy something this afternoon because you have a single click option, because you already have your account logged in all the time, if you are willing to pay enough, there's a chance you can have that delivery by noon on your door tomorrow because you've lived your whole life without a certain product, but this new company, maybe not so new, can actually deliver it in less than 24 hours. Since you perceive that, you will believe that they can do that, but it's because you believe in them, correct? But if you found out that the CEO of whatever company, made up company, because I'm definitely not quoting one right now because that opens us to lawsuits. But let's say that CEO of that company comes out to be a murderer tomorrow. Do you still have the same faith in that company? Or did your perception of that company change because of the way someone act? Okay, that was too far gone. Let's say it this way. Right now, you can perceive that you can receive from a church. But what happens if the pastor ends up failing at something? Would you come back the next week? Because probably that pastor was sinning while you were still receiving, but now that you perceive him different, you're no longer going to receive because of what you know. Right? So your ability, this is why I say all that, your ability to receive from God is how you perceive God. If you don't think he can, he never will. If you don't see him as a provider, he never will provide. If you don't see him as a savior, he never will save. If you don't perceive him, but here's the other kind of flip side to that, you have to be aware of the need that you have. Or you're going to end up saying things like this, I'm fine. Is there anything that I can do for you? No, I'm fine. And so my question that would be for everyone today is, what area in your life do you need to actually perceive that you need to receive from God? So then, here's the next thing, and I would say I've done this in my own life, and this may sound weird, but I never could get away from it, so I went ahead and wrote it down. When it said that she built a room on for him, could you imagine, like, if I traveled to your house and ministered out somewhere, and I had a few chicken wings with you, and you just were like, man, you're so awesome, and the next time I came back to your house, you built a wing on for me? Like, I'm going to go ahead and throw this out. You're rich. Like, I can understand buying a new thing of, like, bed sheets so that I don't have to sleep, you know, like where your dog does at your feet. But, like, and you're like, oh, that was very nice. You got me some new bed sheets and maybe a good comfortable pillow and not a pillow with down feathers. I don't know whoever created that, but I don't know why you want to be stuck in the back of your head while you're sleeping at night. Why don't you get a good cotton pillow? And once it shrinks past a certain point, guess what? It becomes a between the leg pillow. That's how it works in my house. Okay? There are three stages to pillows. I need to stop. There are people like waving me off here, but there are three stages to a pillow, and none of them include feather. That's of the devil. You should know that. So I find something really in here. That none of that was in the notes, and we can just move back past it. So I find something interesting in here because it says that she's built on a room, but then it lists, let's put a bed in there for him. Let's put a table in there for him. Let's put a chair in there. Let's put a lamp in there. It's like, man, that was really specific. Like, and we're going to use 4.5-inch base trim. And like, why do we go into this much detail of putting this in for him? And I really did do this earlier this week when on like Friday I went, God, why is it so specific? And I felt like I can't say this is theologically correct, okay? I can't say that there's some commentary out there to prove it. But here's what I heard. First of all, when you choose to have yourself want to be connected to God, the first thing you do in bed, you find your rest in Him. So where are the place in your life that you're not finding rest? There's a good chance you haven't given it to God yet. But then it says a table. And of course, I don't know how your table works at my house. Actually, here's how mine works. My two-year-old throws her spaghetti on the ground. Happened last night, almost made it to Facebook. But most of the time at a kitchen table around our house, what do? You consume. What in your life are you consuming most often? Because if we want it, if we perceive to you being a man of God, if we perceive that there's something you can give me, my guess is that one, we're going to find our rest in God, but number two, we're going to find the things that we consume of God. There was actually, who remembers the show Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Remember that movie? It showed up the other day on one of our Hulu things, and I was like, oh, boys, this may be one that you're able to watch with me, because I remember it had cartoons in it. That's all I remember. But what I normally do is I give it, you guys are smiling, apparently you know something I didn't at the time. The first 4 minutes is a cartoon running around and knives being thrown, and I'm cracking up. As soon as it comes out of there, there's two words that we choose not to say at our household right off the bat by the cartoon. So then it was, this is worth a Google. And I'm looking up and I went, oh, this isn't a kid's show, this is an adult show. How did my parents let me watch this? So then I privately judged them that I'm apparently doing public now. But my boys said this to me. They said, well, why can't we watch it? And I said, there are words in there that we choose not to use. And Silas, my five-year-old, he goes, I promise I won't say them. And I said, well, I'm going to try to guarantee that because I won't let you consume them. See, here's the thing. They're going to hear it. I'm fine with that. But what I'm trying to do is raise a standard of, even though we hear it, even though we see it, even though we know it, we choose not to communicate that way. Because guess what? You don't have to use an F-bomb to let people know you're mad. There's just other ways to communicate. And so, but the question is, what are we consuming on a regular basis, and what table do we continue to feed the kids? And so then, here's the other thing. Then there was a chair. And, well, what company are you keeping? Because when I sit around the chair, I know who I'm sitting with. I know whose table I'm around to consume with. And I know whose bed that I'm found in, finding rest in. And so who's the company that you're having? Because if the people you're around the most is who you're becoming. So who are you around the most? What do you think you're becoming like? And then the final thing is the lamp. And here's the word I heard, future. You're a lamp unto my feet. Now, granted, I'm probably stealing this from a psalm, so at this point, I'm just like doing a deck of cards with the scriptures to make it all come together. But the reality is when you look to your future, do you find your future in Christ? Do you find your future in God? So I found it so interesting that they made sure to put all these things into this one category. So in your life, if you don't know where you're at, I'd ask you these questions. Where do you find your rest? What are you consistently consuming? What type of company are you keeping? And when you look to your future, is it one better than you are now? Is it one different than you are now? And then I love Elisha here. So ultimately, you have this lady who's been given to him, and Elisha understood a very important biblical principle. He called her and he goes, listen, I have to give back to you. So just so you know, the faith that we have is reciprocal. If I'm giving to you, you should be giving to me. If I'm pouring out to them, they should be pouring out to someone else. Can you see that? This is not a one-way faith that we are in. This is if you give to me, I need to choose to give back to you. But here's the flip side. When I give to you, I don't expect anything in return, because I'm giving out of purity of heart. But at the same time, if you understand what's healthy for you, when someone pours out to you, you should try in every way possible to pour back out to them or to someone else. Because our faith is reciprocal. It's a cycle. We're not meant just to store up everything that God's given us and drink off of that the rest of your life. It's actually supposed to be a fresh spring. The only way you get a fresh spring is getting rid of the old spring. And so Elisha says to her, listen, what can I give to you? Because you've given to me, I have to pour back to you. Hey, can I go to the king for you? Can I go to the head of the army for you? And so basically, hey, where do you need influence and where do you need protection? And she said this, I'm good. And Elisha's going, you can't be. Because everybody in life has a place of deficiency. And this is where I need to know this. This is where you need to know this. This is where we have to be aware of this. no matter what front we put up, no matter how polished we try to make ourselves for a Sunday morning, no matter how I try to communicate properly so you think I'm perfect, we need to know this. Every one of us has a place where we're deficient. And if we're not aware of it, it will continue to be a deficiency in our personality. But you may not see it as being a deficiency because you've covered up so much, you're either disillusioned or you're dysfunctioned. Amen. Like right there, I put pause for amen because everyone wants to hear that you're dysfunctional. Like, but we are. We are dysfunctional. Man, we are jacked up. Our parents did the best they could, but we failed somewhere along the line. My wife tries, but she doesn't always come through. I try sometimes, and I never come through. Like, we're dysfunctional. And I think it's going to be, can everyone, it'd be like joining the AA. Hi, my name is, and I'm a, let's just say it, I'm dysfunctional. And if you go, well, I'm not dysfunctional, then we need to let you know you're disillusioned. Because you are. You're not perfect. And here's the other big thing. No one expects you to be perfect. I need to know in my personal life, no one expects me to be perfect. From my family to my friends, no one has ever put the expectation on me to be perfect. Actually, here's what they told me to be. Can you just be real? Can you be honest? And so here's what it is. God, I'm honestly telling you, I'm dysfunctional. Can you change my dysfunction without actually ever changing anything about me? Because truth be told, I'm pretty sweet. Like, I just stole your prayer. You know you say it. You think you're God's gift to everything. But here's the thing. We say that there's a dysfunction in our life. There's a deficiency in our life. So we perceive there to be a God. You've made room for God because you find your rest in Him. You eat from Him. You consume out of Him. You see your future in Him. You hang out with other people that think like Him. So now God comes along and says, listen, I'm going to give to you the place in your life that you've been lacking. And our answer to Him is no. Our answer to Him is simply this: don't start this. Because at one point, I wanted it, but since I never got pregnant with it, I decided to live without it. So God, don't get this started. Don't make me want again. Don't stir up a desire inside of me that you're not going to fulfill. Don't open some door that's between me and it, there's a chasm that's impossible to cross. So you know what's easier to say, God, I'd rather live without the possibility than the want. So guess what we say to Him? No. And He's going, wait a second, I want you to say this, and I know you're objecting to your barrenness, but listen, I need you to understand you've only learned how to work with your dysfunction. Because you weren't meant to be barren, you weren't meant to be without. So guess what? We need to figure out, why did you say no? And this part here, I'm going to just let you know, I need to say a special thank you to T.D. Jakes and Dr. Phil. You know who Dr. Phil is? Good-looking white bald guy. Some of you, it took a minute. They were having a conversation a few years back. I didn't actually look at the timestamp. And they said something that got me doing research of something I've never researched before. But most of us are going to know what IQ is, right? Intellectual quotient. It's your ability to know what you know. Most of us think, oh, if you have a high IQ, you're just smart. Well, it's the hard drive that you have to be able to process, gather, and know information. And some of us are naturally built with better hard drives, better IQs than other people. And I'd love to say I have a high IQ, but my wife all the time questions me and think that you weren't supposed to laugh, then I wasn't done with my statement. And you guys were quick to jump on that one. But she has said this to me, and you better wait for the right time to say amen, because I'm going to get hurt, okay? She, on a couple occasions, thank you, I appreciate that loud laugh back there. She has said to me, there's something wrong with you. Pause. Because I can't remember the past. I don't live in the past. And she like brings up stuff. She'll bring up stuff like early marriage and stuff that we did. And of course, I say to her, are you sure we were married at the time? And then she reminds me, you're my only husband and you're my only wife. Like, I'm like, oh, I guess it was us then. Like, it wasn't the other guy because there hasn't been one. So, but she like tells these stories about the kids. And I just remember smiling, going, show me a picture. That might help. But like, I don't live there. And she has actually said this to me before. She goes, how do you remember the Bible? I can't remember the answer. Like, I had nothing for her. But like, sometimes she goes, where are you? And guess what? Some of us have the IQs that we have, and we live the life that we have, but I can't be jealous just because you can remember everything about your past. Good for you. Like, don't come to me to remind me. Actually, this is true. When we were doing the last round for our growth track that now happens during the second service, I had to go do research of, when did we start the church? Every time someone asks me my kid's birthday, it is a massive process to go through my kid's birthday. Oh, I'll give it to you real quick. Let's run through this. So I'm born in June. My first kid is born in July, 7. I took off flight, 7/27 is his birthday. Why? Because we took off with kids. Or my second kid is the 8th. 8 times 2 is 16. He was born on 8/16. Third kid, this, by the way, this is honest to God is the truth. Third kid is 9. 9 plus 3 is 12. 9/12 is his birthday. Mariah was born in February. God. Got nothing. It is either 223 or 227, because 227 was the name of an old TV show. You remember that? But I can't remember if 227 helps me remember it or 227's wrong, so it's 223. So I just got to be ready a week ahead of time. I don't have tattoos, but the day I do, it will be a list of birthdays right here. So when someone asks me, I can go, 727. So here's the thing, I just don't have the hard drive for it, but I'm fine with it because not all of us have the same IQ. But here's something that's interesting. IQ isn't the only thing that gives you ability to know. Here's another one. It's your EQ, your emotional quotient. So some people have very high IQs, but they have very low EQs. They know what they need to do, but they're absolutely horrible with working with people. And most of the time, you don't know someone's EQ until you get into a relationship with them, right? Because how many of you ended up getting married, thought you had the woman of your dream, you had an IQ, so you went with the 36, 24, 36, and all of a sudden, when you got your IQ of the ideal woman, you end up going home and you found out that she was part crazy. Why? Because she cries but can't tell you, she's angry but can't verbalize it, and you just realize you married an emotional dwarf. And I know you women are sitting out there right now, thinking I'm blasting the women, but men, here's yours. You ready for this? You're at home and you can't keep a good job because everyone else is mean. Everyone else is mad. Bad. You haven't found your passion yet. Guess what? That man has as low EQ as you could possibly imagine. And so men and women, we do it the same. Why? Because we usually learn our EQs, our emotions, from the environments that we grew up in. And so you're like, well, whenever we grew up, we said it the way we said it, and we yelled at each other, and we just got it out there. That's how mom did it. Well, mom's as crazy as you are. And they're like, well, you're not responsible as a man. No, because my mommy took care of me, and she raised up an emotionally immature boy that continues to quit his job, waiting for my wife to do the job that I should do, but my mom taught me otherwise, and I'm going to act like my dad who sits on a couch and looks at a TV. So have I officially offended everyone yet? Because if not, I got 3 more examples, but I already saw someone saying no. So, but usually you don't know someone's EQ. You only, can we say, by the way, if you're a business owner, here's what you do. You hire someone's IQ, but you live with their EQ. So how they work with everyone, you don't know till you get in bed with them, right? How they interact with other people, they may be smart, they may know how to get books, and then you pick up a phone and have them talk to someone, and you're like, oh my gosh, who taught you how to emotionally relate to people at that level? You're a dwarf. I thought you were a giant, but you're not. Like, you just, it's way out of whack. And so here's the thing. You have your IQ, you have your EQ, but this is where, and I'll give credits, where Dr. Phil said something called AQ. I've never heard of AQ before, so of course I, like you will this afternoon, unless you get enough from me today, you go and you realize there's adaptability quotient. Now, some people use the word adversity. I found more often adaptability. And the basic is what's your ability to adapt to change? Because most people are really good just like they are. Feel free to bring about change. I don't want to tell a story on my wife where she can't defend herself, but here it goes. Here's one thing I know about my wife. So okay. Whoever's closing, we're going to have to do it quick because I'm going way over. Here it is. So this year, we're going to have the opportunity to go out of town for a few days. And I found out about a condo that we could get like $50 a day. But I also know that it's not the cleanest place you've ever been. And some people rate it with having bed bugs, which is not an issue for me. But when I found out it was so cheap, I'm not done with the story yet. I'll change stories then. One of the things that I've learned with my wife, I'm definitely changing. I'm scared now to tell you this one. But no, here's what I've learned over time with my wife is I can come in, go, let's walk out the door in 5 minutes. I got an adventure to go on. And my wife will go, no, because we have breakfast, we have bed, we have baths. You know, she has it planned out already. She isn't a no long term, but I need to give her enough time to process the new information. Now, some people's ability to adapt, when they say no, they mean no and it's all together. Some people's ability to adapt, they need some of the information so they can process it to eventually be able to do it. Other people, man, I need the slightest bit of information. I can adapt on a dime. But here's what you know. Your ability to adapt determines the destiny that you'll ever achieve. The ability to adapt will determine how far you go in life. Because you can be the smartest person in the world. And you can know how to work with everybody in your EQ. But if your AQ is that is sterile, that is stiff, that is unable to change, guess what? You will always stay where you're at and not be able to adapt forward. And so here's what I read when I read this woman's life, and here's why I'm saying this all to you. All of a sudden, she perceived him to be a man of God. She must have had an IQ. She was wealthy, her and her husband. I'm assuming she had a high IQ. She had the ability to say to him, I want to make a room for you, so when you come, I'm emotionally to the place that I'm freely able to give. And I'm not so insecure about who I'm as a person and the stuff that I have to hoard. I actually can freely give. So I think she had high IQ, high EQ, but I think she had a very low AQ. Because now all of a sudden there's a time in her life where God's going, I'm going to give to you the one thing that your money has never been able to buy. There will always be a place in our life that we have to get the one thing that we crave for the most, and it's going to come from God and God alone. You won't be able to go to an Amazon. You won't be able to go to a Walmart. You can't go to your friend's house and get that from them. He's going to make it to a place where he gets it. So when you say this, God, I'm asking you to change me. Without changing me, here's what God hears. God, thank you for changing me. I'm willing for you to disrupt my life. When God brings about the change that you've been praying for, you're praying for a disruption to happen in your life, and you will reject the disruption if you have a low AQ. But I promise you this, AQ is one of those places, our adaptability quotient is one of those places that we can grow in. Because you as a person determine it, or there's a cause outside of you big enough. So I'm sitting here in my life and I say, listen, I want to change. I want to adapt. I need to lose weight. I don't like the way I feel. Another way, you go to the doctor and he goes, man, you're within a week of having a heart attack. You better get control of your weight. So either I determine internally or someone externally goes, do you have something bigger to live for? I in my life go, I heard the most amazing phrase this past week. A gentleman said to me, he goes, you know, we actually have more money now. And we do stuff with the kids more often. And ever since we've been doing stuff with the family and not self-destructive, selfish things, we have more money than we used to. His adaptability was amazing. And he's actually better off because he was willing to change because his emotional IQ and his IQ, his EQ and IQ were high enough where he said, I need to not only make an emotional change, but a mental change too. So my question for you is, are you willing to change? Are you willing to let something new in? And by the way, she did. She became the Wonder Woman we were hoping she would become. She became the superhero we were craving for. And it got put to test almost immediately. Her son, that she eventually bore a year later, sometime after that, was in the field with his dad. And he said to his dad, "My head, my head." And his dad took him back to the house, and the son died in the dad's arms. And Wonder Woman showed up, said, "Why is my son like that? Our son's passed away." She goes, "Nope." She picks the son up, carries him to Elijah's bed, lays the bed down. Why? Because she's found her rest there. Lays the boy there and leaves. She goes to get Elisha. Goes to find him. Gaza, the servant, interacts with him before she gets to Elijah, and he says this, "Ma'am, is everything all right?" And she goes, "Yep." No, I thought your response was no. Hang on, no. See, it's yes now because I fought through no yesterday. And listen, if you're able to fight for it, you'll be able to keep it. So she comes up to Elisha and he goes, "Listen, dream maker, hey, prophet, my son's back home. I need you." Why? Because the place that I found God will be the place that I expect God. So in this place where she was willing to adapt, in this place that she was willing to grow, in this place that she was willing to meet God, guess what? She then expected to always find God. And I'll fast forward to the end of the story for you. Elijah comes back, not only prays for the boy, but invests himself, and the boy lives again. But here's the thing. Her Wonder Woman story makes no difference if you don't know the origins. And the origin is because she prayed a prayer like me. "God, I know there's places that I want to change, but no." But the amazing thing is, once we say yes, now we have superpowers. Now we can do what most people can't, and that's rest in God. Consume God. Find ourselves with God. But then also trust God for our future. So if you're here today, I know there's just a lot of data, and maybe yours was the place that she was sitting. Maybe it was the ability to connect with God. Maybe it was the IQ, AQ, and EQ. Maybe there was something that you could take away, but I want to tell you this, that if you're sitting here today and you don't know who Jesus is, today's the best opportunity that you will ever have to say yes to him. Best opportunity for your IQ to match up with your EQ so that your AQ is ready to change and to believe that he's your Savior. Could I just ask everyone to simply close your eyes, bow your heads? And the reason I'm doing that is because I want to talk to you, the individual, right now. You, the individual that came, maybe someone invited you to come here, maybe you've been hearing about us for a while, maybe you're online right now just watching us, or you've watched us online and you decided to join us live, in person. We in the same service, we in every service the same way. And that's given you the ability to understand the greatest AQ you'll ever interact. The greatest change that you'll ever have in your life is saying yes to a man named Jesus Christ. I know today we talked about a Shunammite woman, not about a man named Jesus, but all of these stories point to him. Because there is a Savior meant to save. But we only change, we only realize that we needed a salvation when we realize of our dysfunction and our deficiency. If you're here today and you go, "I'm tired of being deficient. I'm tired of feeling dysfunctional. And I'm ready to make the shift that God's called me to." I just want to invite you to raise your hand in the air just so that I can recognize you. If you're watching online, tab popped up in order for you to say yes to Jesus right now. And I want to invite you to do the same thing. I see those hands. I see that hand right there. Praise God. Praise God. With so many hands, can we all say this together? Dear Jesus, I choose today to have the ability to change. Change me. I cannot change myself, but I believe that you are the author of change. Forgive me of my sins. Become Lord of my life. Lord, I thank you for every hand that was raised. I thank you for every heart that confessed. I thank you for every person online that gave their life to God today. Lord, we celebrate with them. And now collectively, though, God, we all have to admit that there's places in our life that we know we need to change. It may not be our soul, but it could be an action. It could be a thought. It could be a way of life that we've learned from days gone by. But God, I choose this day to believe that you're going to give us the capacity not just to know that we need to, not just to have the emotions or maturity to make it happen, but God, you're going to give us the grace to shift where we need to shift. So Holy Spirit, we celebrate with everybody that said yes to you today, but then we as a body say yes to the changes that you've called to in our life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.